Holy Gospel according to John, the 3rd chapter. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, sandwiched in the middle of our text today is something called the Golden Passage, or as I like to call it, actually, the Golden Verse. You know it well. In fact, you know this so well that if you went out on the street anywhere in town and asked anybody else if they've ever heard of it, or know it, or could repeat it, even part of it, chances are they could do you one better. They might know a symbol of it. They might be able to repeat it back to you. They might even be able to repeat it word for word. You know it well. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." That casts a huge, gigantic, massive shadow over the entire text today. It's hard to get beyond John 3:16 when you read it. But that's exactly what I would like you to do today. For certainly we could spend all out of these 10 verses just on one of them, John 3:16. But I'd like you to do something a little different than just focusing on the golden text or the golden passage, as it is called. I'd like you to focus on a different verse, actually the very next verse in our gospel text. John 3:17 says this, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Now I'd like to narrow your focus. Let's narrow it down a bit, shall we? We have 10 verses to work with. I'm asking you to focus on one verse. Verse 17. Now I'd like to tighten it a little bit further. I want you to focus on one word in one verse. And it's an easy one to find when you look at verse 17. Focus on the word condemn when you look at verse 17, just for a moment. Such a strong word, isn't it? Not a word we're real comfortable with, not a word that we're comfortable saying or hearing or even looking at, for that matter. Should send a chill down your spine when you read it. And for most folks, it usually does. So I decided to do a bit of digging, and I thought, well, we can massage that word, can't we? There's got to be another word that doesn't sound as harsh as condemn. So I made the mistake of getting on Google and decided to Google as many synonyms as I could find for the word condemn. Surely there must be something a little easier that people can stomach other than the word condemn. So I offer these to you to find that these are not as harsh as condemn. Synonyms for condemn are not exhaustive, but could include these. To censure, criticize, denounce, revile, blame, chastise, rebuke, berate, sentence, and oh, my personal favorite, to judge harshly. Does that sound better to you? Not really. sounds like the word condemn. Now I'd like you to narrow your focus just a little bit further. So we started with 10 verses. We go to one verse. We go to one word in one verse, condemn. Now I want you to focus on one synonym of one word, of one verse, out of this 10. And that would be what you see on the screen. Judge. That's an appropriate word to use. This passage, if you're not familiar with it, is all about John trying to pound this point home about this rush to judgment that we all seem to have a tendency to do. That's the type of judgment that John is showing us today in this text. That is the type of judgment that Jesus is pointing others to in this text. Because our judgments are often quick. We're quick to criticize and even quicker to judge people, and we're good at it. And we've been doing it for a long time. And we're fast, very fast, lightning fast. In fact, we are so fast, we can often move at the speed of light with judgment. Because once you've been critical of somebody, judging them is not too much further down the road. Very easy to do. You might even say that we are so used to doing this and have done it so often with so many different people, so many different ways. It's the new normal because we've just gotten used to doing that with people. Because it's easy to do. And yet, is that what John is saying in this text? Is this lesson simply one-dimensional? Is it just about you and I judging other people? We can see the premise in the text. That's easy enough to see. Clearly not. That is not all John is trying to say. The beauty of this text is not what is said, but what is implied by what is said. For Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, as verse 17 stated. Neither should we. You notice John did not say that we shouldn't hold the world accountable. He just said, don't condemn it. There is a difference, my friends. And accountability is necessary. You can do that lovingly, but it still needs to be there. Jesus did not come to this rush of judgment against the world. Neither should we. Yet, we should hold each other accountable in grace. We should not sit in judgment on folks or rush to judgment because criticizing is easy. But yet, we must hold each other accountable. For Jesus came amidst you and I and all of our messiness to experience this habitual pattern that we have of criticism and judgment towards each other. And Christ does that with us, one wounded person at a time, every time we wound somebody, and every time they wound us. Because a rush to judgment is easy. It's always been easy. It will always be easy. Caroline Lewis, a dear working preacher, just took the filter off of this text and had this to say about it, which I thought was brilliant. Quite helpful. I'd like to share it with you. She said this, and I quote, "We have to take a long, hard look at ourselves. Why are we so eager to condemn other people and somehow think that our own condemnation is exempt? How are we so willing to withhold forgiveness from others? And to what extent that means that you and I ourselves are in desperate need of it. Believe it or not, I hear freedom in this passage. Not that I'm freed in my judgment of others, for I will always be inclined towards condemnation. Such is the nature of the human condition. But I feel a certain sense of liberation that how I act, how I behave, how I respond is simultaneously a revelation of who I am. It's about my character. And it shows. Because it tells the truth about me. When left to my own devices, I seek judgment often towards others. Very rarely am I willing to shine a light on myself. And I need to hear this truth more often than I even care to admit that I do. End quote. It's well said. I could not agree more. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the real gift in this text is not just in knowing that you and I need to be careful at how we look at others, how we act towards others, how we speak to others, how we think about others. For all these things are certainly true and should not even need to be mentioned in order to understand them. That is also the basis of the human condition, that we should know these things in fair treatment of each other. The real gift in this passage from John, these words from Jesus, is knowing that our judgment of others is not a reflection upon them. It is a reflection upon us as people. It's not about them. It's about you and me. And there is a difference, my friends, between judging others and holding them accountable in loving accountability. You can do that and handle what looks back at you in the mirror if you do it that way. For that is what John is trying to say. That is what John is trying to move forward in this text. That is what Jesus is imploring people to do. Loving accountability that you can live with, so when you look back in that mirror, you can stand what reflects back at you. And that's okay to do. This passage points us to the mirror in a season that's all about the mirror. Self-examination is all about Lent. Always has been. Always will be. But this passage points you to the mirror of self-examination for this reason. To learn to give what reflects back at you, with all of our flaws and all of our shortcomings, all of our harsh criticisms and judgments and lack of abilities, to God, so that God can do what God always does best. Meet us as we are. Harsh criticisms, judgments, and all. And God meets us in those. Whether we practice good loving accountability or not, God does not love us less. God loves us more, even when we don't love ourselves or each other. There's a couple of slides that Kent and I are going to take you through here for the end of this sermon that kind of focus on this inward look at the soul and how to practice loving accountability rather than harsh judgment or criticism. Ken, we're going to roll through them one at a time. Oh, good. Here's the first one. Judging a person doesn't define who they are. It defines who you are. Did I not just say that? I think so. There need not be anything else said about that particular slide. Don't judge others because they sin differently than you do. I actually had to crack up in my office about that one. Look, we are unique, are we not, with our own sin? I know I've got mine. How about you? We all do. But don't judge somebody else just because their sin looks a little different than yours. Can you hold them accountable for it? Yes, and you should. But it doesn't mean you judge them for it. There's a difference. Before making judgment about others, make sure your hands are clean. Another look in the mirror, a different way. Before you start casting judgment on others, make sure you've gone to the mirror with God and made sure that you too have given all of you, all of your brokenness to God. People who help you in loving accountability help you become better and love you through your own brokenness, not judge you for it. It's a little easier to look in the mirror first if you're going to look at somebody else second. People tell others to be themselves, but then they judge them. But the people that judge are too afraid to be themselves. Hence, they get judged for it, because who you are isn't good enough. Is it? Yes, it is. Who you are is good enough for God. It always has been. It always will be. Loving accountability is not the absence of real relationships and real hard work to move forward. Real accountability is removing judgment so that as children of God, we can talk together, not about what we do wrong, but about our sin so that we can help walk each other through it. And that is what John is trying to get to. That is what John is imploring others to do. And that is all we need to know. If John has one thing he's trying to get through to you and to me, never, ever shy away from accountability. But don't lose yourself in judgment, or you will never find accountability. And you'll get lost in your own judgment and one day wake up and not know who you are. But remember whose you always are. For we are always God's, broken and all. Thanks be to God. Amen.